All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on! This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an FYF Friday on The Usual Suspects, and we appreciate you guys tuning in like you normally do if you're a usual suspect. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on the FYF Friday with a little extra F, because we'll have a guest as part of our Comedian of the Week. Is that not right, Barry?
Yes, it is. Friend of yours, friend of mine. You've known Billy for a long time. I think you've known Billy longer than I have. Have you not?
I don't know, but you know, he's...
Been a while.
Yeah, when the Rockets were on 610, they had him on quite a bit, too. And then his daughter was a power dancer, and... Yeah, I've known her for a while.
Yeah, Billy D. Washington's our Comedian of the Week. He's going to join us from 3:30 to 4. And I'm going to have to... we're going to have to address why he's such a big 6'10 and 790 honk.
I'm fine with that.
He even when I talked to him, he's like, man, I was listening to Josh the other day. He don't do that anymore, obviously. But he used to say how he would listen.
He could on the podcast.
Well, but he'd be like, oh, I was listening to Josh Innes. I'm like, no, why, bro, why? What? We were supposed to be boys. Like, what is the deal?
I'm just shocked at how old he is. I always forget how old he is.
Black don't crack.
Like, he's old as dirt. He's old.
But he doesn't look old. I didn't know where you were going there, but yeah.
Power dancer? Like, she used to be a power dancer, yeah, like years ago.
No, so not he's that like, many years ago.
So he's really old.
I'm gonna let you tell him to
his
face.
Hey, he was picking on me last time.
Was he?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Well, then, you know what?
He's going to kill me when he sees me. Hopefully he's not listening.
I wonder if he still carries a gun. Maybe he'll shoot Nick, and then I don't
What's
have to worry
with
about
you comedians
this.
Carrying guns?
I don't have to worry about you no more.
Shooting hecklers?
Dude, they get people that come after him. There's people that just don't have a very good sense of reality.
Bro, yeah. Well, you can't carry it in all venues, but I know comedians that carry a gun on stage. I don't do that. I'm not that crazy. That's illegal.
Just in case you tell someone to suck your...
Tell them to suck their sons?
Sons D?
Oh, my God.
Well, let's think back now. Barry tipped us off, and we saw that video. Guys on stage have had people attack them, yeah. So you got to protect yourself.
Absolutely. I know guys that will carry on stage. But, I mean, when we had Rob Mungo in a couple weeks ago, or was it last week? Last whatever. And we were telling the story about a chick that threw a glass at him. A comedian that now lives in New York from Houston named Jaffer Khan. He tells this great joke about religion. And he makes fun of all religions. Like, he makes fun of Judaism, Christianity, Islam, all in one joke. But some drunk Christian dude got mad, rushed the stage, tried to hit him, tried to fight him. Like, it happens, dude. Like, you'd be surprised. Even doing this job, you guys know we say some pretty crazy things and it pisses people off. And now a lot of times that they'll text us or tweet us, and then they just change the dial, and that's fine. But there are a few crazies out there, man.
Well,
I have a feeling at some point this week I made fun of an animal rights activist. So I have a feeling on Twitter all of the animal rights weirdos are going to come after me. He was talking about the plight of fish. He was like, look how awful this is. And it was just a fishing boat full of fish. I was like, what are you talking about? The plight? Get your stuff together, John. This is weird. It's fishing, bro.
That is weird.
Yeah, there's like the some plight people that of fish? Go too far.
That's the type of dude that fights for dogs to have, like, prescription glasses or something like that. Dogs need to see, too.
Oh, my God, Nick, that's the funniest. Can I use it on stage?
Absolutely.
That's hilarious, bro.
Yeah.
That is just too funny. Yeah, you're right, though.
I mean, I've told you this. I mean, Les Alexander's ex-wife was the head of, was like, one of the creators of PETA.
Oh, boy.
So she petitioned the league. When I first got the job, she petitioned the league to stop using leather basketballs.
I'm going
to
use rubber.
Or just synthetic or whatever.
Oh,
and went with like this long, detailed letter that we got a copy of. I was like, wait, that you just took a lot of time on this.
I was shooting a lot of shots this morning. I'm not going to lie.
On what, on Twitter?
I was feeling a little frisky this morning. Yeah. Shot a couple shots.
Listeners, just random people, randos. Like,
no, so I took a shot at the fish, the plight of fish guy.
Yeah.
And then I finally got around to responding to Andy out of Utah, the writer for the Salt Lake Tribune. I just let him know that him and the Jazz fans are going to have to wait to get back home to go to a cross burning, because we don't do that here.
Oh, so you're talking about, because we brought it up, but he didn't say anything directly to you. You just decided.
I just decided I would let him know, hey, while you're here, you and the Jazz fans are going to have to wait till you get back home to see a cross burning, because we don't do that down here. So we'll have to wait. And then let's see, who else did I
show? Did he respond?
No, not yet. I just did it not too long ago. But this is the dumbest thing of all, okay? And I'll even name names because I don't care. But I don't know what station they're... Who is Landry Locker and John Lopez on?
610.
These guys have stirred up a hornet's nest in this city. And it's the dumbest, the absolute dumbest thing to be upset or mad about or even to have a discussion about. But they were out here saying, you're a bad Rockets fan if you watch Game of Thrones and not the Rockets. It's the dumbest... Like, look, I know ratings are down and you got to say something to get people to pay attention to you. I don't, just do a show naked or something, because this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And people are mad about it. They're like, oh, yeah, you're right. Rock is like, what? Like, who cares? How about mind your own business and people watch what they want to watch? It's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
It is enormous right now.
I know.
On social media.
Well, good for them. They needed a little boost in the ratings.
Say, yeah,
the
ratings
Texans aren't
there,
here to help them out.
Hopefully
that's fine.
They're maximizing clicks. I don't know.
I sure hope so. I hope that they're getting a good Twitter following from it. But it's the dumbest thing ever. Like, why would you sit here and tell some grown-ass adult that would rather watch a TV show than the first quarter or quarter and a half of the first of at least four playoff games? Man, get... Plus, there's DVRs, and I can watch Game of Thrones, DVR the Rockets. Like, dude, I get it. You guys are desperate and looking for, you know, someone to throw you a lifeboat, but that's just stupid. Of all the dumbass hot takes that have been said on radio, that might take the cake, honestly.
And it was done, I think, simply to do exactly what it did, was just to get the ire of people. But the bottom line is, and you make fun of me for saying record, but yeah, if you got a DVR, I mean, watch what you want to watch.
No, I make fun of you for saying tape. You're supposed to record on, you can still record on a DVR.
Record.
Yeah, not tape though.
Not tape.
Yeah, right. That's the one. But like, yeah, what? I don't know. It's like, whatever. They got a little run out of it. This is, whatever. Who cares what people watch? You're going to doubt somebody's fandom because they would rather watch the first episode of the final season?
Yeah. Here's what I would do. I would have turned it around and go, but if it was the Texans game on 610, do you don't think everybody have to say, oh, God, I got to watch the Texans game. That first preseason game at Green Bay takes precedent over Game of Thrones first episode. Got to watch that. And we got to talk about the offensive line play.
Yeah, I don't know. Stop. I just like really like just let people live their life. Who cares? Who cares what they watch? It doesn't make you a bad fan.
Well, or
if you love the Game of
watch.
Thrones, watch it. Yeah,
I don't understand how it got to be such a big deal.
It's basketball. You ain't missing anything till the fourth quarter, anyways.
It's also the first round.
Mm-hmm.
If it was the finals or the Western Conference Finals or a key deciding game,
even then,
you still have choices. But it's obviously a bigger, impactful game.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It just seems silly. Like, I'm sure you could think of something else to get upset about. I don't know how upset they really were. I didn't hear the discussion. I just know that they got other people riled up and were pretty staunch about it on Twitter. So whatever.
And then their morning show evidently got into it
with them,
hell-bent too, about they're taking sides on it and who's right, who's wrong.
Let me guess, Paul Gallant was on the Game of Thrones side.
I didn't listen to it. I, again, was just watching it unfold on social media where people are like, are you guys really like carrying this over to the airwaves?
Paul and Shawnee seem like the most rational people at the station. So I feel like Sean Pendergrass's response was like, guys, there's a DVR. Just watch Game of Thrones. Set your DVR for the Rockets. Pick back up. Fast forward. You're caught up by halftime. Why is this a big deal? Exactly.
Paulie's a big Game of Thrones guy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And so I feel like Paul Gallant and it would also be kind of the rational, like, I can do both, and it's not a big deal. But whatever.
Yeah, it's just like I said, it had a mind and a life of its own last night, and I was just scratching my head, going, "Is this what we've resorted to?
This is what happens in the off season. This is what happens when football's not there. You're like, oh crap, what do we talk about?"
Well, and yeah, if you're not the flagship home of the Astros, then in your mind, you got nothing to talk about but offensive line play.
Little do they know, this is we don't have any flagship home, so we're used to having to be creative.
We do what you want.
That's right.
And make it work, digital That's underground right. wise.
Do what
so,
you like.
They're close enough. FEF Friday on the usual suspects. So we've got Billy D. Washington as our comedian. We've got plenty more things that we can get to. Astros opening up a big series starting on the West Coast with the Seattle. Yeah. The first place Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, put some respect on it now.
The 15 home run in 15 straight games, Seattle Mariners.
That's wild.
So we can talk about that. Obviously, the Rockets are opening up the first round of the playoffs on Sunday night at home, late game against the Utah Jazz. So that's something we can kick around as well, and lots of other things. But if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we're here for you. 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. Call that number. Text that number. And as always, available via Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick.
Yeah, and you know, one more thing before we get out of here. If you have it filled up for the weekend, how about you do that? How about you stop and download this app called Get Upside? Because I'm going to get you some cash back on your fill up, right? Because Get Upside gets you cash back on stuff you're already paying for, like gas and food. So you got to fill up. You got to stop and grab some food for the kiddos and the wife on the way home, or the husband. I know we got female listeners. Dude, do this first. I want to save you some money this weekend. Download Get Upside. It's completely free in the App Store, whether it's iTunes or Google Play. Put it on your phone. And then put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. So now, on your way home, when you fill up, you just find a gas station inside the app. It's got a map. It's super easy. You just pull up the map, hit gas. It shows you every gas station in your area that has a cash back offer. Pick the one you want. Go fill up. Get your cash back. It's literally that easy. You pay with a debit or credit card. Take a picture of your receipt. And within 24 hours, that cash back goes into your account. And then you can start getting like whatever you want. You can use it at Popeyes, Wendy's, Burger King, Cyclone and Aya's. If it's in the app, you can get cash back, and it can really start to add up. We've got listeners that have shown me pictures of how much they've received in cash back from Get Upside, up to $200 already. I've seen one listener. If you can beat that, send me the screenshot. I'd be happy to tell the folks about it. But my wife is using it. I'm using it. AJ uses it. Nick is on it now. Look, everybody's using it because you're dumb if you're not using it. I hate to be mean like that, but you're leaving money at the pump. You're leaving money at the table. Don't do that. It was on ABC 13. This is a great thing for you as a consumer. These businesses want your money. That's why they're in Get Upside. But download the app. Put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Get that extra savings and thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
So I just found out that my great-great-grandfather was a runaway slave because my great-great-grandmother was a bitch. I'm actually adopted, and I have no idea who my biological mother is, and for that reason, I do not date older women. Thank you. I like this crowd. I think that as Americans, we should do everything that we can to save money. I truly believe that, man. Like, gas prices are so ridiculous, and the people are trying to come up with creative ways to get people into gas stations. Like, I saw a sign at a gas station that read, "Please pay gas before pumping cashier." That's either really clever marketing or a dyslexic sign designer. Either way, I filled up twice.
To an FBI Friday on the Usual Suspects. Billy D. Washington, funny dude, gonna join us in studio at 3:30. But if you are not hip to his comedy, you need to be. He has got some good stuff.
Legendary in this town, nationally. I mean, he was one of the first big time headliners in Houston. what's crazy is to start off a set. That was a TV set, but to start off a set with an applause break, that's not easy. You got to have a really strong opening joke, and that's one of my favorite jokes is that the runaway slave joke that he did. So funny, yeah. Great writer, good dude. It'll be fun having him in. We'll chop it up with
you. I got to ask him a question because he posted something on Facebook, and I'm like, if that story is true, I want
is that the
to
master
know,
story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that's true, I'd like him to elaborate.
Oh, yeah. We'll get him to talk about that.
Because that was pretty interesting. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. I haven't seen him in a while. So it's great. And like you said, being friends with him on Facebook, he's just a funny dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The other thing that I tweeted about that happened this week was that gif of – or that video of Pat Beverly and Jay Crowder. Mm-hmm. And Pat Beverly trying to tell Jay Crowder – it looks like he's trying to explain to him how to guard Harden. It dawned on me and I looked it up, and James Harden, this is his numbers against the Clippers, 31-10-5, 31 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds per game. You might want to look elsewhere for advice on how to stop Harden, because obviously the Clippers couldn't. I mean, there are teams in the league where, who was it? Dallas. He averaged 27 a game versus Dallas, 27.8.
Which actually is doing something.
Yeah, Chicago, he averaged 27.5. You might want to hit them up. Charlotte, 29. You might want to hit those guys up because they've done the best, but 31-10, that's not shutting anybody down. No. In fact, if you could get 31-10 from Harden in the playoffs every game against Utah, would you take it?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, you would.
Absolutely, because you know what? At the same time, we've seen this too. My biggest concern, I said Rockets in five, and I stand by that. I did a whole thing for Fred last night previewing the series. The only reason why it wouldn't go five, in my opinion, is if they just are looking past the Jazz. I really believe that there's just too much talent, and there's guys that are just too focused on what's ahead of them with mm-hmm. Golden State. That would be the only thing I'd be worried about, because the fact of the matter is that, you know, as long as he's engaged and he's getting his, there's too much star power on the Rockets compared to what the Jazz bring.
Now, I guess if – so his numbers against the Jazz this year – four games that they played, he averaged 33.5 points a game, 7.3 rebounds, and 4.8 assists. So I guess if you could shave 2 points off a game, you'd take that.
Yeah.
But really, you're good. I mean, if Pat Beverly was so good at shutting down James Harden, he wouldn't have gone for averaging 31 a game against them in the two games they played this year.
Look, Pat's got some spilled milk that he's still crying about.
Of course
he's not happy about how everything went down with him being traded. He felt like he should have gotten the ball more, and more things happened for him when he was here. So maybe he's got an axe to grind with James, right?
Of course he does.
And he's got motives behind all this. But yeah, I mean, the best chance that Pat Beverly has of stopping anybody these days is punking him. Talking to him, you know, doing what he did to Westbrook, getting a little extra physical. He, you know, he's motivated by when the crowd's against him on the road. But overall, and Jay Crowder the same way. I mentioned him in the article. Jay Crowder is a guy that has classically underachieved his entire career.
Yeah.
There was a time when he was with the Celtics that he fit in the right spot as a role player.
As a role player, yeah.
Yeah, and he was a defensive type guy, a physical guy, kind of one of those guys that was a hitman that
was
would come in.
Was he a poor man's Manimal, or is Manimal a poor man's Jay
Crowder?
I'll tell
you who he was. He was a poor man's P.J. Tucker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he would shoot the three.
Yep.
And he would be physical, and he would try to be that stopper on defense. And for a year or two, it was going well for him. And I've told you the story before. I've mentioned it. He was the guy from an intimidation standpoint where he wasn't afraid to go in the huddle on the Rockets' side and start trying to talk mess to Harden to, one, see if James would react, and, two, see if anybody had his back.
Yeah.
And then figured he was doing something. But if that's your way of being effective,
good luck.
Find a hobby.
Because here's the one thing I don't think you can do very easily, and that's get inside of James Harden's head. He knows, like, he's not Dwight Howard. You could get inside Dwight Howard's head immediately, get him out of his game, get him into foul trouble, committing technical fouls, doing stupid stuff. You don't really get that with James. James will do some dumb things on the court trying to draw fouls and get back at folks, but not in a way where you're going to get in his head and ruin his game.
He has matured a great deal.
Yeah.
You used to be able to get to him a little bit in a lot of different ways, and I've mentioned that. Physically, mentally, by talking a whole bunch of mess to him, maybe playing a little dirty. Those things, he shied away from that. He didn't like that too much. But
I don't
now,
think he does anymore.
I agree with you. I think he's matured both on and off the floor, and I think that's the kind of thing that he takes as a challenge and goes, if that's your idea of how to stop me, then I'm still going to go for 30-some and 8 and 5 or whatever it is. And then at the end of the day, you evaluate, was it effective?
Yeah. If you can hold him under 30, I think you're doing good.
And kudos to MK Bauer who brought this up, because obviously Milwaukee and national people are going nuts on this whole Giannis campaign all of a sudden. But MK put this out yesterday, and for all the things that I've seen and heard of based on what we were just talking about with Harden, the most impactful thing I've seen is over a span of 40 games played from December 8th through March 8th, he averaged 40 points a game, 7 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 steals. According to the Elias Sports Bureau, it was the second longest span of averaging 40-plus in NBA history. The Rockets also were 28-12 in those games, and wait for it, 28-12. Despite Capella missed 14, Gordon missed 9, and Chris Paul missed 18 of those games.
Wow.
That's saying something, people.
That's
you may hate him and dislike his style of play and want to take pot shots at everything from the Kardashians to whatever, but how do you take anything away from this man's season?
Who did that? Who came up with that research?
MK Bauer.
That is outstanding research.
No,
that is quality researching right there. Good job, MK Bauer.
I retweeted that right away and thought, you know what, of all the ways I was trying to say and get it out there and say about, you know, if you took these guys away from Harden and take Middleton and Bledsoe away from the Greek freak and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's that right there.
You've been preaching that the whole time since this debate started raging. You've been preaching that. Somebody on the text line said, Barry, it sounds like you could use a shot of Fireball again. I'll be on my way with a bottle. Nope. I don't think so. Nope. I have a show tonight. No drinking.
Tell the peeps about the show.
Oh, yeah, I got to pull it. Why I don't have the flyer in front of me.
Oh.
I have no idea where I'm going to be tonight. I have to look it up. It's a brewery in Conroe. That's all I know.
Ooh.
Brewery in Conroe at 9 o'clock, but I don't know the name of it. I got to find it again here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll find it. I'll let them know for the days out. Especially if you're up north, you got nothing to do.
Yeah.
Come hang out.
Up in the hood.
That's right.
Stop on by. Give it a try. Barry's going to get some information for you on that. We're also going to have plenty more on the show. And, of course, Billy D is going to stop by in the third hour. So lots to get to on an FEF Friday. So join us, won't you? 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back half hour in, 3 hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along on the go, wherever you may be on this Friday. Talk a little Rockets and James Harden and everything playoffs as we get prepared for the Rockets and the Jazz on Sunday. Fellas, I got some bad news. I, in the break, stumbled across this as we were talking about the whole Harden and Rockets and MVP thing. And it kind of leads into what we've all said kind of throughout this process, which is the popularity contest is where he's going to lose, and he's going to lose the MVP because of it, because there's someone that has calculated anybody that has a vote, whether they mention it in their column, their Twitter account, or in any way, shape, or form are on the record stating who they're going to vote for. I can only tell you, and I don't know how many total votes there are, right? But in this post, let's just say there's 50 right in front of me. Of the 50, 2 voted for James Harden.
Ooh.
And we're talking about Brian Windhorst.
What?
We're talking about Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated, Zach Lowe from ESPN. The only ones that voted for Harden, Jalen Rose and Kevin Pelton of ESPN. Everybody else is voting for Giannis.
I really do believe it's what I said before, that sometimes in MVP voting, it's not really about, because honestly, if it was about who's the best player, Let's be real. Most times, not this year, but most times, LeBron James would have been the MVP. Okay. Same thing in baseball. Mike Trout will be the MVP every single year. So I think they do take into account other players and so forth. But it's kind of like, all right, if you've got a group of guys, who's deserving of it this year? Who hasn't won it yet? Who should we give it to? Not who's earned it, but or who's the best player in the league, but who do they think it's their turn? And I feel like a lot of people think it's Giannis's turn to be
the
MVP.
Well, and he's the small market guy, the kind of Cinderella story, the underdog. So there's a lot of people that are going to vote with the underdog. But again, as I told you, one thing I completely disagree with is they took the votes away where at least one member of every broadcast team of every team in the league got to vote on this award. They took all those away and made them all national. How many of these national guys are seeing James Harden consistently? Not necessarily on a nightly basis, but seeing him consistently, right? Yeah. So when you say all that and you look at where these votes are, there's 22 of these votes in front of me, and I'm seeing ESPN, The Athletic, Sports Illustrated, New York Daily News, SB Nation. That's interesting. Associated Press, NBA.com. You're not seeing anybody that really is covering these guys on a daily basis.
I'll tell you this, though. I'll tell you this. That's good news for Rockets fans.
How so?
Because every time James feels like he's been snubbed, made fun of, or hasn't gotten his just due, the following year, he's more focused and more dedicated. Think about that. The year of the Kardashians, and it was the year after they made the Western Conference Finals and the Kardashian year, and they made the highlight reel of how bad his defense was. He came out in shape, ready to go, focused, played, you know, defense. Like so anytime that happens, if he's runner up or second place, or he comes back more focused to prove people wrong. And he's always been like that. Remember back in the when he was with the Team USA, and they asked him who's the greatest player in the world, and he said me, and literally the entire basketball world laughed at him. I think that was the beginning of his motivation to become an MVP every single year.
And I've said all along, some guys are internally motivated. Some guys feed just on external motivation. Yeah. And James is one of those guys, and I've seen it firsthand, and you're right. The only thing that I would say on your point, I hope he speeds it up a little bit. Don't worry till next year. Speed it up in the playoffs, because again, one of the big knocks on him is great regular season player, but come postseason, he disappears.
I think he would exchange a finals MVP for a regular season MVP, and it's a great point. But I feel like it's one of those things where this will motivate him next year. And not just because he lost, but if like you said, if he got 5% of the vote the year that this man has had, and you only get 5%, that's just if I'm James Harden, I'd be like, oh, y'all gonna disrespect me like that? Okay.
But I'm gonna throw this out there too.
I'm gonna go for 50, 10, and 10 every night now.
And you know what?
I could see that.
It's unfortunate, it's unfair, but it's true. There's people that just don't like either the style of play that the Rockets play, or they just don't like James Harden. Like, you go back to what Don McLean, the Clippers announcer, said. They feel like he's cheating the game. No, you know what? He's mastered a way to take advantage of the rules as they sit today. If they change the rules, don't be mad at him if he changes his game again. Because every year he's added another element.
Another wrinkle.
That gets people on their heels that can't defend him. That's not on him. That's on you, the people that are bitching and complaining. But I hate to say it, but he's just got that, because of whatever reason it is, people are using that as like venom to, I don't like James Harden, so I'm not voting for him. Because you look at his stats, and granted, Russell Westbrook and his triple-doubles, but same premise. When you're going up against Wilt Chamberlain for the records that you're breaking and the company that you're keeping, how can you turn your head from that?
I don't understand it. I don't get it. I think it's very clear James Harden should be the MVP. But, I mean, I'm not upset if Giannis wins it, but 48-2,
oh man,
that's a little disheartening. That's a little too one-sided. But, by the way,
and remember, Jalen Rose changed his mind a couple
times. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
That one of the two voters changed his mind like twice.
Yeah. That's a good point. Eric Hostetter and somebody on the text line said, Barry, is it the Southern Star Brewery where the show is tonight? Yes.
Oh, look at that.
So it's the Southern Star Brewery in Conroe, 9 o'clock. Be there.
The Stalkers, right. The suspects doing their work.
That's right.
That's great. You know what? And the other thing, Nick, is Brian Windhorst didn't vote for LeBron. I was shocked by that.
he probably felt, I'm not saying this is true, but maybe, you know, he knew that he would get heat if he voted for LeBron because of his love affair with LeBron. And the fact that LeBron pretty much gave him a career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Did you see that his new book just came out called LeBron Inc.? That should tell you all you need to know.
That's awful.
We were talking about Harden, so let's get our man Clarence in here on a Friday. Clarence, what's up, man?
What up, guys? Happy F Yeah Friday.
Happy F Yeah Friday to you.
Happy F Yeah Friday, Clarence.
F Yeah. First off, Barry, the only two people that's going to attack you on stage is OU Mike and a well-disguised Nick, because the brass is taking too long to fire you for putting too much emphasis on Brad Peacock's name. So he's going to just try to take you out and take your job in the process.
That makes sense, Clarence. That makes sense. Oh, hating ass Nick.
Now, as far as James Harden, man, it's you realize that it's become a popularity contest for I don't know how long. And it makes you realize that, and you don't have to look any further than Russell Westbrook. You remember back when a triple-double was a very big deal?
Yeah. Yep.
This man has averaged a triple-double for the past three seasons. Three seasons. He got an MVP because of that. The second year, what happened? They gave it to James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Now this year, they're going to go ahead and give it to Giannis. You know they're going to give it to Giannis because they like Giannis and don't like James Harden. Yeah. They're not even looking at the stats. If they were looking at the stats for the past three seasons, it will be Russell Westbrook because he was an MVP. And that's a shame the way that they're doing that, especially all these nationwide writers.
Yeah, no doubt. That's what we were saying.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Thanks, Clarence. Appreciate the call.
It's a really good point. It's kind of weird, though, because it's not like there hasn't been precedence for back-to-back MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it still says a lot about Harden to be the winner or runner-up in the last, what, 4 years?
Four last five.
Yeah.
You know? The Kardashian year was the only down year he had.
Yeah.
And the thing that we've always, in these last, since we've been doing this show, the one thing that we keep going back to is, just like all these votes for Hall of Fame and MVPs and all that, we don't know the criteria. But if the criteria is the team, then call it the most valuable team award, you know?
Yeah.
Because my guys in Milwaukee are coming back to me with best team in the league, best player on that team, and we won more games by double figures. He could have padded his stats being the Greek freak if he needed to, but we sat him down. I'm like, no, because it's the individual player. And the way James shouldered the load and carried this team from the second to worst record in the West to the home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. And literally, you can look, you point wherever you want. There's no way you can get away without saying he did all of it.
Yeah. I'm curious what was, okay, so Harden won it last year and they had the best record in the West.
Right.
Was it the best record in basketball?
League, yeah.
Yeah. So what was the year?
Curry won it the first year because they had a better record, supposedly.
Right. But the year that Westbrook won it, They did not have a great record. So that can't be the criteria then.
It shouldn't be, right? But you know what? As we said, the year Westbrook won it, it was because it was such a national event. Every time he got another one, it was SportsCenter, and not just SportsCenter, it was Wall Street Journal, it was national publications galore going, he's on his way. Not since the 1961 Oscar Robertson season or whatever year it was. This is a big deal.
So then if you're going to make the argument that it's the best player on the best team is the most valuable, then why did you give Russell Westbrook the MVP?
That's
because the Thunder were sixth in the West. Mm-hmm. Sixth in the West, 20 games out of first place.
His numbers were ridiculous. The triple doubles.
Oh, well, but I'll say this. How valuable are you? How much value do you have if the best your team can do when you average a triple double is a 57% winning percentage? How much value do you really have versus how much do you affect the winning of your team? Like, if you're a ball hog and you're out to get your numbers, that's great. You put up big numbers. But at what? At the detriment of your team winning? Playing team basketball?
No. Can I rebuttal it?
Absolutely.
To what you just said, too? I'll answer it with a question, okay? What's more impressive? The numbers that were ridiculous that he put up, or the numbers that Harden put up this year when you're talking about how many 50-point triple-doubles, or the stats that I just gave about over a 40-game span, scoring 40-plus a game, plus seven dimes, two steals, all the things he averaged. Not taking anything away from Russ, but there's a reason why we haven't, Russ and Oscar Robertson, right? We haven't seen this in Oscar. But when you're talking about Wilt and all the Wilt years he passed up before he didn't get to the final one, it's like, man, I don't know which numbers are more impressive.
Yeah. I think the triple-double carried so much weight for Russell Westbrook, whether you deserve or whether you believe that should be the case or not. The triple double numbers just helped him so much.
But here's the thing. You're right. And to Clarence's point, it used to be that was such a tough thing to do was a triple double, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that was that. But I don't think anybody ever fathomed that anybody could do what Wilt did. The fact that we're just sweeping it under the rug that James did the 30 points in this many games, 40 points over a 40 game stretch, you know, averaging that, all the different numbers he put up that we haven't seen since Wilt and no one thought we'd see again? Was it just that it was too astronomical of a record that people thought, nah, it's not that big of a deal?
Put it this way, just based on my quick look, since Derrick Rose won it in 2010, the 2010-2011 season, the winner of the MVP every year has had the best or the second best record, at least in their conference. The only outlier is the year Russell Westbrook won it when they were sixth in the West. That's not even sixth in basketball, sixth in the West. So he got rewarded for his triple-double more so than his value.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily like arguing against you. It's just that the numbers, to Joel's point, it probably was so surprising that they beat Oscar that it was like, wow. Now it's kind of a norm to get those many double-doubles and triple-doubles and I don't know.
Here's the thing that I think solves this, though. I really think, and I believe this, I think this should be two different and very distinct awards. You should have the best basketball player, and if you want to call that the most valuable, or you know or maybe have the most valuable and the best, because there's two different things. Because you could be the most valuable to your team and not be the best player in the league. That can happen, where you can will your team to win. LeBron James, with nothing around him on the Cavs, was the most valuable player in the NBA.
Is it fair to say, too, that you could arguably be the best or the most valuable player on your team without being the best player on your team? Because you do so many things.
I think you can be. I mean, depending on what you do.
Because Russell Westbrook might be the most valuable player on his team, but I don't think he's the best player on his team. I think Paul George is, because he plays both ends and all the things he does.
And it's a good point. And you can make the point that, he should be getting more love for MVP this year that he's not getting, because where would the Thunder be without him?
Real quick, dude, does Bill Worrell have a vote or no?
Not anymore. That's what I'm saying. They took it away from all the loyal, all the local teams.
I mean, come on.
He'd vote for a team, though. That's the problem.
Some of these clowns, they don't deserve a vote. Like Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
That's the thing I don't like either, because I want to know if Fagan's got a vote, then that's fair.
He doesn't.
If Fagan doesn't have a vote, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel does, I think that's BS.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking at. Like, and then honestly, Paul Flannery, dude, I know who you are, player. You ain't
Paul Flynn Flammery.
Whatever his name is. And then Kurt Heeland, please, bro. Like, I know all these writers. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's a farce. I really do.
What we should do is reach out to him, don't tell him, but one by one, just get him on and then just attack him.
I texted Howard Beck. I'm like, what's the deal? I texted him.
Let's get him on the air, but don't tell him.
There's no way. He knows it's an ESPN affiliate.
Like, literally all three of us will talk at the same time and just scream at him until they hang up. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Or you can just take calls. It'd be the same thing.
Do that too.
So we can continue with the Rockets talk and other things. Before we get to the break, I do want to give you a quick Masters update. The Masters updates are presented by Norton Ditto. As we look at Tiger Woods just getting onto the course, he parred the par 5 second hole. Not a good start, simply because normally that par 5 is one where you can make up ground. But he's just getting started in his round. But how about Francisco Molinari? He is at 7 under par through 16 holes. Ian Poulter's at 5 under. Jason Day also at 5, along with Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson. 5 under after 13 holes. So the leaderboard is jam-packed. And that's something to watch if you're a Masters and a golf fan going forward into the weekend. The Masters update brought to you by Norton Ditto.
All my life, been grinding all my life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
back. Hour number one, 3 hour show. I did want to mention, even though it wasn't part of the Norton Ditto update, Barry, something that everyone can relate to in an interesting tidbit factoid from the Masters. Zach Johnson on the 13th hole today teed up his ball, went to take a practice swing, and hit it 8 feet.
Oh.
Then he went to go pick it up and re-tee it and stopped and looked at his caddy and went, I think I might have done something really bad here. And everyone froze. And they had to wait for a rules official to get on the site. He was allowed to re-tee and ended up birdieing the hole. The rule being, he did not address the ball with the club face directly behind the ball. And I posted the video at Pac-Man Joel.
Yeah, I want to see the video.
He teed the ball up, but then stepped like a half step back and just kind of free swung the back swing. And all of a sudden, he caught the far edge of the club, the outside edge of the club, caught the ball, and it
went
bing, bing, bing. And he went, uh-oh.
Is that the one there?
Yep.
I always have worried about that. That's why when I watch golf, not always, but when I watch golf, I'm always like, man, somebody's going to accidentally hit the ball. And then I wonder what happens. So now we know.
Yeah, so now,
if you don't address the ball,
when you're golfing with your guys and someone tries to say, oh, because you know what? That's the other thing that always annoyed me and all my buddies when we played golf.
I don't see the video on the page.
I'll find it. Any one time, and I'm sure you've done this as well, but when you're playing with your buddies and one, you know, the guy, you tee it up and then all of a sudden it accidentally falls off the tee or something. Oh, yeah. There's one.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
That's enough barely, of that joke.
Oh, here we go. I have it now. I have my ad blocker on.
Did I not post
it? No, I have my ad blocker on. Yeah, he's behind the ball. Oh, yeah, he accidentally hit it.
Yep.
Dumbass.
Yep.
That's great. And then he's like, wait a minute. That's so, wow, I wonder how long it took to get the ruling on that.
Well, and each group normally, and especially with a tournament like the Masters, each group has a rules official that walks along with the group. But sometimes those guys don't know. They can't make that call. They're not versed on that. So then they got to go ask for help.
Yeah.
But they said now everybody in the tournament's all the fans of the tournament are pulling for him because they're like, he's an average dude.
Yeah.
He did what I did.
Hey, speaking of the Masters, there was this article that came out, The Secrets of Augusta National.
Okay.
One of these really pissed me off, and the rest of them just made me mad. See if you can guess which one of these really pissed me off. All right. Here are some secrets about Augusta National that you may not have known. The fairway grass is mowed back towards the tee box so that the ball digs in when it lands and doesn't roll far. The trees are cut so that they lean in towards the fairway, making the hole seem tighter. And any patches of bare grass are painted green to disguise them. Okay? The water has food dye to make it look immaculate and give it a sheen. Okay. So that's the first section of
the wave.
That's how they look. You know, that's the attention to detail. Second one. The bird songs you hear during the television broadcast from Augusta is fake. It's added by TV companies to make the course seem even more natural than it is. There are, in fact, relatively few birds living on the course. Potentially course-damaging animals are not welcomed. So they don't even have birds in and around Augusta National, but they pipe in the bird noise to make you think that it's... Number three, one world-class player who did not wish to be named claimed that Sports Mail that Augusta is vastly overrated, saying he particularly didn't like the club's stuffy atmosphere. He also said this course stinks of chemicals used to maintain the fairway and the greens. So it's like, he's like, yeah, it's not that nice, and it's caustic, the air. The food is good. That is one thing you may not have known. The food is exceptional. They have apparently, one player said, the best fried chicken in the world. And then they don't have a ball washer. There's no ball washers in all of Augusta because they say if you stop it.
Tiger Woods has got grills everywhere.
Oh, I see what you did there. Good for you. No ball washers. Let's see. Where did it go?
I can verify it doesn't stink.
Okay.
All right. That I will tell you. I can already know which one's got your craw.
Did you know this? One of the co-founders killed himself on the course at the age of 83?
No.
Yeah. He killed himself.
Can't you just ask to be buried there when you're done?
By Ike's Pond at the age of 83.
Does it say where Ike's Pond is?
No, but wherever that is.
I think he's got a name.
There's a dead man there.
I think there's a plate on the ground. This is where.
No. Or like you see a cross on the side of the road somewhere.
Well, in the Woodlands, they got stupid plaques like this is where former Channel 2 announcer Chris Raggy holed out from. Who cares?
Yeah, that is pretty ridiculous. All right, so I will exclude this one because we already know this one pissed me off. But they didn't allow black people until 1990 and didn't allow women until 2012. Very progressive. So as I watch it, honestly, that's the one that I sit there and think, why is this even a thing? Why are we supporting this?
Can you imagine?
At 1990.
Imagine not if they not didn't 1965,
not 1970. Yeah, if he was around in 89. Yeah,
right.
Not 1970, not 75. 1990 before they were like, oh, I guess we'll include black people. I guess we'll include minorities. I guess it took 2012 to include women. That's awful.
Like Sage Steele
awful.
Is covering it for ESPN. And she said she was doing the work assignment she was given. She's uncomfortable with that.
I would be too. It's just awful. But which one do you think is the one
birds.
That bothered me? Yeah.
I knew it.
That's such crap. You fake
and
ass
I agree
Augusta
with that.
National fake ass.
And you know what they're gonna
birds?
Do?
Birds. Really?
You know what they're gonna do? Oh, that was CBS doing that.
Yeah, we don't do that.
We wouldn't do that.
Horse crap. This is just another reason to hate the Masters. Fake birds.
So when
you're watching the Masters this weekend, people, those birds you hear, that's whack. That's not real. It's not that. They're not. Everybody ain't happy out there.
That's Hootie.
Yeah, Hootie for Hootie, sure.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're going to travel to the Masters, I have a plan for you. You should definitely look up besthotelrates.com. A lot of us travel throughout the year. I know I do with comedy and you go on vacation. How are you booking your hotel rooms? If you're not using besthotelrates.com, you might be making a mistake here because besthotelrates.com has negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide. And they've extended those discounts to you. All you got to do is go to besthotelrates.com, plug in your destination, the dates of your travel, and boom, there you go. You are looking at discounted rates for many of the hotels that you're probably already going to stay at anyways. Why not get that discount? Save your money. Book your hotel through besthotelrates.com. Top-notch customer service backs up your reservations so your stay is safe and secure. It's besthotelrates.com. Start planning your next trip today. It's in the name, besthotelrates.com.